We're picking up with Ramban, the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvot. We're up to page 10 or 11. Which page are we in the standard editions? Here we're up to page 11 in the standard editions of Sefer HaMitzvot, and page Chafbet, the top of the right column in the Frankel editions. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to Sara Shendel Biata Bat Tova Bertel. Bertul Hashem should heal her and bless her. So the Ramban had been quoting sources and examples of where the rabbis were more lenient on rabbinic institutions, and he's posing all of these as questions against the Ramban. You Rambam say that every rabbinic institution has two biblical commandments backing it, then how come they were so lenient? And we find the Talmud says about those who do work on Purim, Mr. Mali, you know this, we just learned this in Megillah, that they see the guy working on Purim and they ask the rabbi, why don't you ostracize him? He's working on Purim, right? The sugya of Rebbe, we just learned it this week. So what does he say? He's going against the rabbi's institution, so what should we do to him? Well, we can't do anything, but let's curse him. Let's put him in halachas decision. Uvim zalzel bin tilat yadayim. The Talmud says there was Eliezer ben Anadan. He was a person who mocked the rabbinic institution of washing hands. Now, if you think about it, there's room to question it, because in the Torah you have two concepts. Either the body is pure or the body is impure. There's no such concept as one part of the body being impure. The rabbis made it up. The rabbi said, we're instituting that you have to wash your hands. Your hands are defiled. What does that mean? Either the whole body is or the whole body isn't. So Elazar ben Anadan decided, so the rabbi said, I'm a rabbi too. Who cares for Netilas Yadayim? So what the rabbis do? Venidu. They put him in halachic ostracism. Now, this whole logic behind why he mocked it, I'm saying it. It doesn't say it anywhere, but I assume that's the logic behind it. Those of you who were with us on Shabbos morning, last time we learned the Maharal's explanation as to the biblical source for the concept that there is a Tumah other than the Tumah of the whole body. You were there, right? You remember? Maybe you weren't there. Okay. Uvim kumot yeshlahem. I don't remember. I know I was there. Uvim kumot yeshlahem makat maldut. And there are times that the rabbis can punish a person with makat maldut. What's makat maldut? A guy doesn't listen to the rabbis, so they bring him to court and they start hitting him. When do they stop? Good question. Either when he gives in, when he learns his lesson, basically. That's why it's called makat mardut, from the word ridui. We try to put him in line. The guy says, so what did the rabbi say? I shouldn't carry a pen on Shabbos. I carry my pen in my pocket on Shabbos. I carry myself and I won't do malach on Shabbos. Where does it say in the Torah you can't do business on Shabbos? So I leave my store open. Show me where the Torah says not to do business. So we bring him into court and we start hitting him until he accepts that he's not going to do that. That's called makat maldut. Now obviously this is at a time where the Jews are on the proper level and the courts have the proper authority, and there's this one renegade who decides he's going to do things different. So then we don't allow him to make a breach in the fences. At a time like today where you have whole communities which do things different, even if we had the power, even if I were Rosh Hashanah, right, and I had the police force and the army and everyone under me, I would not be in the right. I wouldn't be expected to institute this. Today we work differently, as the Chazon Ish wrote and others, but the concept still exists. The Talmud says, if the guy doesn't listen, so we could also give him a kat maldut. That's when a person transgresses a mitzvah that they instituted. Shem ken Torah. They are like the Torah, and that's why they beat him up for it. Then kol hagzerot shegazu behem midivrehem. Those are all the rabbinic decrees. Shemakin otat sheikabel otam alav. They hit him until he accepts it. Ot shetitzen nafsho, or else until he dies. His choice. Moshem feresh betosef tasanedli. Now the Ramban told us a very big chiddush here, guys. Let's pay attention. The Ramban said, the rabbis have two powers. One is the power to put a lachakas decision, the other is the power to beat him up. How do you know when you apply which? Said the Ramban, technically you only put him in a lachakas decision unless he is going against a rabbinic mitzvah or a rabbinic gzeirah. This is a very important Ramban, this discernment. If he's undoing a rabbinic mitzvah or a rabbinic gzeirah, a rabbinic decree, that's the time we would beat him up. The rabbi said, Okay, we had enough examples. So this discernment that the Ramban makes, I'm not sure everyone agrees upon on it. That that's how you decide when you do which. It's a discussion in the beginning of the laws of Chol HaMoed. Or in the beginning of the laws of Yom Tov, I'm sorry. The beginning of the laws of Yom Tov and the Beis Yosef.
Yeah,
no, yes.
Isn't most of the examples given, aren't those mitzvot or decrees?
Good question.
I don't understand,
the discernment. You're saying, okay, so there are rabbinic institutions like Netilat Yadayim, it's not a decree. Eruv is not a decree. Eruv is a mitzvah shel divrei. Netilat Yadayim, there's mitzvah, there's takana, there's gzeira. Meaning there are different types of rabbinic institutions. The rabbis made a takana of Yom Tov Sheni. The rabbis made a takana that you read from the Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and there are takanot.
Don't go 3 days without reading the Torah.
Right, that's a takana. Then you have gzerot. The rabbi said, don't move around mukzeh because we don't want you to come to doing work. There are gzerot and takanot and mitzvot to Rabbanan. Now, the Ramban is going to quote right away that the Rambam, Maimonides, doesn't agree with what he said. We don't agree with the rabbi. Notice that the Ramban writes with great respect about the Rambam. He calls him the rabbi. Not like the rabbi wrote, not like the Rav. The Rambam wrote, Maimonides writes, on any rabbinic sin, on any sin where a person transgresses something rabbinic, we beat him up till he dies. We beat him up till he agrees to stop doing it, or he dies. That's his choice. He could give in after one lash. He could give in before one lash, right?
So he's breaking a rabbinic decree, and that's essentially death penalty.
No. It is, will you do this again? Wham! Will you do it again? If he says, no, I'm never going to do it again, he's not going to, nothing will happen. It's up to him. He gets the number of lashes he decrees. It's in his hands.
That's worse than biblical lashes.
It seems
is it worse or better? On biblical lashes, the minimum is 3, up to 39.
Right,
on rabbinic lashes, the minimum is 0. He doesn't have to.
Well, let's say when he gets these beatings, they beat him until he either gives in or he dies.
Right.
In biblical, they give him a set number and then get him on your way.
Right.
Let's say he doesn't have to die, he doesn't have to accept.
You're right. Well,
let's say he gets Let's say he gets lashes, he gets 39. He doesn't die. He doesn't give in to his rabbinic decree, he does die.
It's up to him. What do you mean? The guy has free choice. You know, he wants to maintain his contempt of court, the court will maintain their punishment. You know, you're saying they're killing him. He's killing himself.
It's a serious thing to be a Jew. Yeah?
It's a very serious thing to be a Jew, right. That's why Naomi told Ruth, you know, you're not only going to be held accountable for the biblical mitzvot, the rabbis, if they institute something you don't want to listen, they can beat you till you die. They'll beat you until you agree to go and toe the line or not, and you should know. Like you said, it's a serious thing. Yeah, it's no games, right? But I don't see why you guys tend to look at the tough side of things. He's got to be really stupid. At least say you're not going to do it again, you know. If the guy dies, then I guess he deserves
integrity.
To die.
I don't know, like,
you call that integrity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stiffness.
Negative. That's our trait.
I hope I don't get lashings, but I'm gonna.
So, are you sure? Are you sure?
Thank you. Have a good Shabbat.
Shabbat shalom. Okay. בכללו של דבר שדברי סופרים חלוקים הם בכל דיניהם מדברי תורה. So you want to know the rule, says the Ramban. The rule is that rabbinic institutions are different than biblical words in everything. That's a very big statement. They're different in everything. We're lenient when it comes to rabbinic things, we're stringent when it comes to biblical things. And if we go with the Rambam, that when you go against a rabbinic institution, you're really transgressing two biblical commandments, we should really be very stringent when it came to rabbinic institutions. And it really wouldn't make sense to have all these leniencies. So the Ramban here is really precluding our answer. We said, you know, they could say whatever they want. If it's their institution, they can make their institution be that when in doubt, be lenient. When necessary, be lenient. They could stipulate whatever they want. That's why the Ramban says, and it wouldn't make sense to be lenient. He doesn't say it's impossible. He's just saying, wait a second, if you're going to give it the weight of two biblical mitzvot, it wouldn't make sense to have these leniences. We find that the rabbis were very stringent when it came to a mitzvah from God, even if it's an oral mitzvah from God directly. And when it came to Halacha Moshe Sinai, even things that are not written in the Torah, but we have on tradition from Sinai that God said so, such as the straps of the tefillin being black, such as the string with which we tie the tefillin being a perfect square, on issues that are Halacha Moshe Sinai, the rabbi said, we are stringent with them as though they were biblical. As the Talmud says in the first chapter of Tractate Kiddushin, Orla bechutzatz halachal Moshe Sinai. Says Orla. What's Orla? First 3 years of a fruit-bearing tree's fruit, we don't eat. What about chutzlaritz? So the Talmud says it's halachal Moshe Sinai. So the Talmud says, really? Big shoe. So the Talmud asks, Batania. But we have a brisa that says, if you come to a field and you see new trees growing, you're not sure if they've made it to 3 years or not, prohibited. Okay, that makes sense. So far, so good. In Israel, it's biblical. When in doubt, out. Uvisuria muta. But if it's in Chutzlaritz, that's near Israel, Syria, the territory which David conquered but never had the holiness of the land of Israel because he conquered it before we completed conquering the rest of the land of Israel, etc. So there, if you're in doubt, it's only rabbinic, it's lachol Moshe Sinai, but if you're in doubt, it's mutal. Lomal, and the Talmud then questions, wait a second, if Chutzlaritz says lachol Moshe Sinai, how come, when in doubt, you could be lenient? Lomar, what the Talmud is saying is, the Talmud takes as a given. Halacha l'moshe misinai, when in doubt, it's prohibited. Guys, that's another important rule. Not only doraisa l'chomra, halacha l'moshe misinai, safek is also asur. Ve'ulai titakesh v'tomal, ledat harav. And maybe you'll be stubborn. Raman says, I've made a great case, but maybe you're going to be stubborn against me. And you'll claim, Nedat Rav, to back the rabbi, to back the Rambam, Ki ma shamru b'chol makom lakerv divrei sofrim, that wherever the rabbi said, be lenient on a rabbinic issue, hu b'mchila hu b'tnai mehim. That's a precondition they made. They made a stipulation when they made their rabbinic institutions, and they said, shehem itnu b'gzirotu v'sigim shasu l'torah, that they stipulated in all their decrees and the siyog that they made in the Torah, v'chen b'mitzvot shelem, and also in their mitzvos, sh'nealech mehem nekula, that we should be lenient when in doubt. Maybe you'll give the answer we suggested, right? Kedei lechalek v'lafish b'mashu dvar Torah v'mashu medivrehim, so that people will discern between that which is biblical and that which is rabbinic. You thought I made it up, right? The Raman says, maybe you'll be stubborn and you'll say that's the answer. Even though technically we are commanded biblically to do what the rabbi said, but they could stipulate what they want. And really, if they wouldn't stipulate this in advance, we would not be able to be lenient. Maybe you'll say that. Then you're being dishonest, and what you've said has no basis. And now the Raman is going to start proving that you can't give that answer either. So that's what we'll pick up as Lachim next week, in 2 weeks.